Sponsored by 1010 Podcasts.
The Celtic Exchange, a fresh insight on Celtic Football Club.
Welcome to the final whistle, where Ange Postecoglou's away streak continues, finishing today Motherwell 0, Celtic 2. That win was given a significant boost, with Rangers and Hearts playing out a 1-1 draw at Ibrox. Today I'm joined by Koosh. Koosh, your thoughts on the match today?
Good afternoon, James. Good afternoon, listeners. I'm really delighted with today's win. A tough place to go for Park, so picking up another 3 points and another clean sheet is very important as well. Absolutely delighted with that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it wasn't the slickest performance by any stretch. I was quite surprised how poor Motherwell were. They'd been on good form. They didn't seem to get going. We huffed and puffed ourselves, albeit the stats give us, 74% possession to their 26. We were well on top, but there wasn't much fluidity in the game today. What I'll do is I'll give you the lineups. So we started out, as you'd imagine, Joe Hart in goals, Tony Ralston, Carter Vickers, Starfelt, Ball and goalie, Callum McGregor, Turnbull, Rogic, and then up front you've got Abada, Kyogo and Jota. Any surprises in the lineup for you, Stephen?
A couple of sore thumbs there, James. So for me, I was really surprised to see Tom Rogic start, having been away on international duty, having played both games. I just felt he might have been a bit jaded. Very surprised to see Ball and Golly start, but I understand that Montgomery picked up an injury yesterday. Just a wee bit more surprising that Scales wasn't given the nod before him. So,
yeah, that's the two that stood out for me. Turnbull obviously returning to where it all started for him. You know, there's an argument over Turnbull and Rogic. One of them should be dropping out with, maybe it's Beaton coming in and letting Carmack push on. Ball and goalie is the obvious standout, I would say, in terms of a surprise. What is Scales not doing that he can't get into that team ahead of Ball and goalie? We'll cover this throughout the episode, but he was a frustrating figure for me today, Ball and goalie. And this, in far out of the team, not even in the squad, to a first 11 pick. It's oscillating throughout the season, so a strange one. So, like I said, it was a strange enough game with no real flow to it. And, just going right back to the start, mulled a couple of chances with Starfelt not clearing his lines, Ralston sliding into the back to clear it off. There was just a very open game. Abada was getting a lot of the ball down the right, but some poor crossing was letting him down there. What's your opinion on Abada just now in terms of his form?
I don't think his form's great. I think he's had a really fast start to his career at Celtic, and he's very young. He's only going to get better. I think he would really benefit from James Forrest being fit and available and pushing him for a place. And I think we've said this before, Forrest benefits from someone pushing him. Abada, I think, is exactly the same. He'll benefit from someone pushing him.
It's interesting, and I totally agree with that. I've given Jamesy a hard time over the years, but you can see we're missing him, and Abada could really benefit from that competition. I think it does work both ways. I want to see the two of them fighting out for that spot, all throughout the season. It keeps the pressure on each of them, which at least we can see from Forrest's in the past years. It makes him a better player, and it might well do the same for Abada. I think he's a real talent, Abada. He's just kind of drifted out a wee bit from where he was with he's blessed at the start.
And I think he would benefit, as I said, he'd benefit from Forrest being there to push him, maybe benefit from getting a wee break as a result of Forrest being available. Mikey Johnson coming back in today, doing well when they came on, that might push him on a wee bit as well.
There's something in that too, because it allows Jota to get the versatility to accommodate that. And if he's an option on the right wing, it might give us a chance to rest Abada with. We're not really too sure where Forrest was. He was seeming to be well on the comeback trail, and that's kind of drifted away now.
It's a mystery.
A mystery indeed, a mystery. So like I say, the game was very open. There was some frustrating stuff from Tony Watt buying fouls, and Colin being very happy to oblige him buying those fouls, one on Carter Vickers in particular. Just looking at my notes here, another overhit cross from Abada, some horrendous passing from Ball and goalie. He seems to struggle from just poor decision making, passes that aren't on, and he tries them anyway, almost to get the ball out from under his own feet. Where that got to anyway was just about kind of 16, 17 minutes in, it's open, it's kind of end-to-end football, but won the ball well. Motherwell seemed to be claiming for a foul, which was no foul at all, and Keogh actually breaks really well the ball to Tom Rogic, who takes it on yards and then just strikes a great ball across to Jota, and Jota doesn't need to be asked twice, he's just looked up, crashed in his goal, a peach.
It's a fabulous pass and finish. Rogic, that's what Tom Rogic does. Just, he's got that vision, he's got the ability to pull the pass off as well. And the finish from Jota is excellent.
Yeah.
He continues to impress me every time you see him play. He's growing in confidence, and it's a real find that we've got there.
Yeah, the work to be done is to get him secured in some kind of a deal, because he's standing out most games now.
Absolutely.
Keogh had a quiet game today, understandably, given all the travelling he's been doing, and that further allows Jota to stand out as the real talent in the squad at the moment.
Yeah, Keogh, again, away on international duty, no surprise that Kyogo's starting. He needs to start.
Every game
he's available, he has to be up front. He's got to be the focal point and get as many minutes out of him as you can, because he causes so many problems. His movement is the best I've seen up front at Celtic Park for many a year.
For many a year, that's the phrase I was hoping you were going to use, and not use any comparisons with players of the past. Thanks, Kush. So at this point, just, you know, not long after the goal, Motherwell seemed to be shaken, and we weren't really capitalising on that. They were, you know, slashing balls out from the back. They weren't composed. We didn't really seem to, you know, compound that and really get on top of them. From Abada having another poor cross quite quickly after that, in 24 minutes, he gets a good cross in to Jota, and I think he's gone for the over-elaborate super switch kick, you know, Sunday Mail back page headlines number, instead of just putting his laces through it and picking up another goal. At that point, Willie Collum goes down injured, which, you know, no one's looking to see the man get injured, but we weren't too disappointed to see him get relieved of the whistle. Some kind of calf knock, apparently, and he's switched with the fourth official, so that took a bit of time out of the game, and then we're back on with Fordyce, I think, picked up the whistle at that point.
Craig Fordyce,
wee Fordycey, if you remember him. So again, there's plenty of football from Celtic here, but nothing absolutely solid. I thought at this point Motherwell were getting frustrated and they were leaving the boot in fairly heavy and not getting penalised for it.
So, well, they didn't get penalised. They didn't get a caution until the very end of the game.
Yeah.
Which is surprising, because the boot was left in a few times. You've made this point every time you've came onto this podcast, James, about the standard of refereeing we're looking for in Scotland. And the standard of game we're looking for in Scotland, you need to call out these tackles, but you need to call them out both ways. And you need to call out fouls both ways.
More on that coming up. Yeah. So, we carry on. Ball and goalie, we need to spend a wee bit of time to talk about him, I suppose, as a player himself, never mind in scales. So, a poor cross from him, poor passing, lack of awareness, poor positioning. You know, why is Bolingoli there? What's your opinion on him? I mean, do you think there's salvation there for him? Can we make a player out of him?
No. So, I'm going to cut him a wee bit of slack as well, because I don't think he would be expecting to start any time soon either.
You know, being out of the game and in the game, that's hard to think.
And that's not going to be easy. He's not capable of playing that style of football, unfortunately, in my opinion. Now, as it stands at the moment, I think all of the Celtic defence is really struggling with this style of football.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't think he's capable of getting to play that style of football at any point. His decision making is dreadful. And there's a lot of times for me today that he was playing the wrong pass, over elaborating, doing silly things, putting himself into trouble, putting his teammates into trouble. But, as I said, but for injuries, he wouldn't be anywhere near that.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be anywhere near that. And I think, come the next transfer window, he won't be here.
You think he'll go in January?
I think he'll definitely go in January. Right. I think probably more likely it'll be on loan again. But I don't think he's got a future at Celtic.
Yeah. I mean, on that, none of the back four being comfortable with this style of play, I noted that with the passing out from the back, Motherwell were pressing that really heavily. And as right they should. I marked that we lost the ball 5 times from passing out from the back. You know, not necessarily in really dangerous positions, but that's the reason we're not asking the goalie to clear the ball up the pitch is most of the time you lose possession. That's fine. I can understand the argument for that. But if you're passing out from the back and losing it 5 times in one half, then you're kind of getting the same result in a more dangerous place.
You see when it works, it's amazing.
Yeah.
See when it works, it's absolutely brilliant and it's breathtaking football. And I want Celtic to be playing like that because I love watching it.
Yeah.
Scottish football, the managers in Scottish football aren't stupid. They know how to press up against you. They know what Ange's tactics are now.
Yeah.
They know how to mix it up with them. I think there comes a time where you need to say, right, don't do that and mix up your play. Go short every now and again, go long every now and again. You know, you will catch more Scottish teams out that way. You will get more results that way.
Yeah, so I think that's the very point. In 40 minutes, I've put a bracket, no alternative, no, you know, what's the alternative to this play? When Motherwell are bringing 4 players up against you, that's leaving gaps elsewhere.
Yeah.
So what are they not practicing different formations in the training ground that then exploit that gap, and then not only are you past those four, you're well away?
They've got to, and I know that Andrew's very, very bullish about it, and he says, this is the way I play, and this is the way my team will play, and we won't change that, and that's all great, but we've seen it happen in the past. We've seen it. Joe Hart went to him against Alkmaar and says, we need to start playing the ball long.
Yeah.
You need to start thinking about changing the style of play to suit what you're up against. There's no point in passing the ball at the back and Starfelt panicking and Carter Vickers panicking and trying to pass it to Ball and Golly, and then goodness knows what's going to happen. So I think we need to look at what we've got there to do it. Albeit, if we change those, you know, if those players continue to work on it and get better at it, brilliant. If you get someone else in that can do it, Juranovic, I'm sure, can do it. But as it stands at the moment, the back four that we've got aren't capable of it.
I'm not sure Juranovic likes it. From watching him playing it. I know he's a talented player, of course.
I don't think any defender likes us.
Aye. So, I
think you're putting yourself under pressure. I think it's bringing people on to you. It's asking you to play and be a better player than you would normally. Let's not kid ourselves. Defenders aren't the best, most skillful of guys out there.
No, so, it's rare. Yeah.
So I think we want to see this style of play, but we also need to see a bit of variation in that style of play for the time being, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't see it happening, but I agree with your...
Ange listens.
He might hear, but I'm not sure he listens, you know. So, as if first half's drawn to a close, quite a late finish with Colin being off for 6 minutes, but Celtic are breaking on the halfway line. McGregor's about to spray a ball, and Fordyce stamps his credentials on that by saying, Celtic attack! That's the end of the half.
Yeah, of course.
So there we go. So coming out in the second half, just notice, and he's not got many mentions in my notes at all, but Furuhashi, you know, as knackered as he was, he's still pressing the goalie and, you know, creating the opportunities there.
He's a special talent. And yeah, what comes with all talented players, all players at the top of their game, they work really hard. Mm-hmm. They don't rest in their laurels. And I think... he is one player that defenders will, and any defender in Scotland is going to hate playing against.
Aye.
I heard on the radio before the game, they were talking about, it was Halliday talking about the Scottish Cup game.
The Doyen.
The League Cup game, and said that he came off the game absolutely done and didn't know where he was going because Furuhashi wouldn't let him stop.
Just had him ragged,
yeah,
aye.
So Scottish players, defenders in this league are going to hate that. Defenders anywhere are going to hate that.
Yeah.
And you know, he's just an excellent talent. I'm not going to go as far as Sinky, but he's up there. he's getting there.
If you look at, so the effort from Kyogo and the effort from Ralston, we've spoken at length about Ralston and he's playing above his abilities, and you know, hats off to him for that, but the effort from those two guys is 10 out of 10 every game. What do you feel in terms of the squad for effort at the moment?
So if they all had the desire and effort that Ralston had, there would be no problem. Absolutely yeah. No problem. Unfortunately, I'm not seeing it across the board. I think there's a few players on that team that don't have that desire at the moment. And that's, to me, unacceptable. To any Celtic fan, that would be unacceptable. However, they do have the talent, these players, and it's down to the manager to try and drive that out of them,
yeah.
and get that extra effort put in. We saw him before the season started saying, we don't stop, we don't stop, we don't stop. Unfortunately, some of these players are stopping, and yeah. I'm really not putting it in yet, and we need to see that change.
Yeah, I think the press has dropped off about 5 or 6 weeks ago, and mm-hmm. we need to get that back and show that desire that Kyogo and Ralston are showing. So as the second half is just getting into its groove, about 51 minutes in, Turnbull just gets the ball on the edge of the box. And I think this is Turnbull's had a frustrating season, but one thing he's got is tremendous vision. He sees a lot more opportunity for shots on goal than a lot of other players. He sees a lot more of the goal that he can shoot at. And he's just striked this one outside his boot, and it's in the top right-hand corner. What did you think of that one?
It's a fantastic finish. It's a fantastic spot from him. He has the opportunity. The Motherwell players haven't forced him into anything, and he just takes a shot. It's in the back of the net. Doesn't over-celebrate, obviously, because it's his former club, and that's to be commended. I was really delighted for him, because I think he needs that. He needs that just now, because he's not been firing on all cylinders of late. And he has had a hard time, and there's a lot of people criticising his ability, his desire, his effort. That'll do him the world of good.
Yeah, I think the biggest criticism is adaptability. Can he fit into this 4-3-3 setup? For me, his talent is not in doubt at all. I think he's a great talent. He's got to start delivering it on a more consistent basis, and it's getting his game adapted to fit in with this 4-3-3 system.
I think the difficulty with that is when you've got McGregor, Rogic and Turnbull in the same team. Rogic and Turnbull in the same team,
they're
both a bit lightweight.
Yeah.
You're relying on McGregor to make things happen, whereas if you had McCarthy, that'd be excellent. If you've got Beaton there doing it, good, fair enough. You need someone with a wee bit more steel to help. Unfortunately, Turnbull and Rogic, that's not their game.
Yeah. I want to see Carmack really push up into one of those positions.
I'd rather have him up a bit as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I thought it was a kind of funny game today. He did a lot of kind of breaking up stuff, bit sloppy in passing, Carmack. Not his best game by any stretch of the imagination.
Not his best game, but he's not the worst. And certainly, there's a lot of good things that he's doing out there.
A lot of thankless stuff.
Yeah. And I think he needs to be given a bit more support in that kind of role. And it's difficult because you're wanting to play 4-3-3 and you're wanting to be all attacking, but it's difficult to do that.
Yeah, indeed. Not long after his goal, Turnbull was rewarded by Mugabe with a pretty horrendous challenge that Fordyce decided wasn't a foul at all. Turnbull's nicked in, got the ball. Mugabe's just swiped him late, and there was no foul given at all, like I say. We'll come on to the worst decision that Fordyce made in a minute, but this is the kind of lack of consistency when you've got Porteous getting sent off against Rangers for whatever that kind of foul the TV commentary seems to have decided that it was. This was a far worse challenge and no foul given at all.
It's ridiculous. A ridiculous decision.
Yeah. So we're playing through the second half, and it's all pretty turgid stuff. Not. Turgid's maybe a bit strong, but there's nothing great. There's a bit of kind of back and forth. Despite all the possession we had, it was still fairly open. Motherwell play the ball into the box, our box, around about the 66th minute. And for me, just even in first showing, it looked like it hit ball and goalie's handball. I got the benefit of the replay, and it turned out it absolutely was a stonewall penalty. The referee was maybe unsighted with a Motherwell player in front of him. The linesman is about 8 or 9 yards away from that. So I'm more than happy to call out all the bad decisions that referees make in Scotland. And that's a shocker. That should be a penalty to Motherwell. Whether it impacts on the game, given the possession and the goals we had, I really don't know. I don't think so is my answer to that. But penalty?
I don't know. It impacts on the game because it's likely a goal. And there's a good chance that their defence will crumble after that. But yeah, it's a penalty. It should have been given. I think the referee was unsighted. I'm not 100% about the linesman. I'd need to see it again. But from the second viewing, I didn't think so in the first viewing, but the second viewing, it's clear. It's a penalty.
Yeah. So, again, another argument for VAR there. VAR picks that up and Motherwell get their penalty. Yeah. I don't think it would have impacted the result as much as it would impact that point of the game. If Motherwell came out then and started to play for a second, we could easily have picked up a third ourselves.
Potentially.
So it's crystal ball stuff, really. There's more decisions beyond that. There's a bad foul in Rogic not given. There's a scissor tackle on Turnbull and no foul given there. Turnbull should have taken his shot before that. But again, it's just standards. The standards of refereeing are just really poor here. So around about 73 minutes, time to ring the changes. I mean, I thought Kyogo was an obvious one, but Ange knows better than me, and he does. So Abada came off for Giakoumakis, and Rogic, who had done a lot of travelling and playing himself, came off for Beaton. So that lets us see that, Beaton sitting in the defensive role. From there, it's nothing terribly incisive. It's just kind of back and forth. I wouldn't say any clear cut. What do you make of those subs and any impact they made in the game?
So I was pleased to see Giakoumakis get a run out. Mm-hmm. I was pleased to see Rogic get a rest. Mm-hmm. I think in terms of what the impact that they had, there wasn't a great deal that I could say. They didn't do anything wrong, in my opinion, but they didn't really stamp any authority in the game. Giakoumakis hasn't had a lot of game time for obvious reasons, but we're still waiting to see him get a decent kind of run of time on the pitch and see what he can really do.
Yeah, I agree with that. Not long after that, 10 minutes after that, Kyogo does get a break and gets his trackies on with Mikey Johnson coming on, and good to see Mikey coming back. I've said it's been a hard run for him, and for me, I'm not sure if he's going to make it, but that certainly doesn't suggest that I don't want him to make it. It's just been a hard run. So what did you think of Mikey when he came on?
So I was impressed with him today. Mm-hmm. I really was. I thought he lifted the team when he came on today. I thought he was excellent. Showed a lot of urgency, created some chances. I'm really hopeful that he can push on from this, get back into the team, get back into the squad, and the main thing is keep fit.
Yeah, if he can, just no more knocks, no more injuries for him. If he can get between now and the end of the season staying fit and a good run, first and foremost, it gives us other options in the team. It gives us a bit of flexibility with Jota and Abada. But yeah, I agree. I thought he did lift the tempo a wee bit when he came on. There was just a bit more urgency. He was looking for the ball. He was crossing flank to flank. He was certainly keen, and he should be. Yeah,
he was. Aye, and he was causing Motherwell problems. Yeah. I think he's a great talent, Mikey Johnson. And I think his career's been blighted by injury, and I'm really hopeful that he can push on this season. I'm really hopeful that he can.
I think all Celtic fans will be, as we hope for all players, So games kind of drawn to a close, with Mikey Johnson getting involved in most of the good stuff. Mugabe had a bad foul on Giakoumakis just right at the end. He was desperate to get that yellow card to Mugabe.
It was a shocker. One that Fordyce deemed worthy for yellow, so it was bad.
Yeah, and it was nothing as bad as the one in Turnbull, so no. Inconsistency from referees. So that's kind of where it kind of ended, really. Your man of the match today?
It's got to be Jota. Yeah. He was excellent. Yeah. Absolutely excellent.
It's Jota, and not for the first time since we signed him, he's my man of the match too. Just as that game was drawn to a close, we get some nice news from across the other side of the city.
Yeah. So, interesting, apparently Griggs has sold the jerseys, so...
Ah, well, that can happen. It's a tough job for a goalie,
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But that, it's 3 points was the most important thing, but it's 2 points.
I think it's important to note that brings us 4 points closer. Yeah. After 8 games... I was listening to the radio before the game again. I need to stop doing that. Talking about how much pressure Ange is under.
Yeah.
He's 8 games in. Yeah. For goodness sakes.
Yeah, they were dismissing his his Aberdeen away win, and all the other stuff you get. But we'll not dwell on those guys. It's been a great day to be a Celtic fan. 3 points for us, 2 points claimed on the leaders. If they're still leaders, they should be. And that's really us from the final whistle at Celtic. Thanks to you guys for listening. Kush, thanks for joining me.
Pleasure, thank you.
The weekly podcast will be out on Tuesday this week, so something to listen to on the way to the game at Parkhead at daft o'clock, I think the kickoff is.
3:30.
Enjoy that. Thanks very much now.
Sponsored by 1010 Podcasts.